All right. Thank you for that, Brock. Thank you for doing that this morning. Valentine's Day. As I was thinking about what to share today, and of course, obviously, it's right on Valentine's Day, so your mind goes to Valentine's Day. And I was like, do you even talk about Valentine's Day? Where did Valentine's Day come from? The questions that were going through my mind. So I said, well, I'm going to go to history. I want to find out a little bit about Valentine's Day. You know, yeah, I know we celebrate Valentine's Day, but what is it? And kind of interesting, actually, it appears like Valentine's Day really came from a pagan holiday where they actually worshipped an idol. Then as I was reading about the history of Valentine's Day in 1415 was the first Valentine poem that was ever written, and the man wrote it. He was sitting in jail. He was locked up and sent it to his Valentine. It was a poem to her that he would never see her again. By the time he actually got out of prison, he was in prison for about 25 years, I believe, and when he got out of prison, she had passed away. And so the first Valentine was first card sent, he wasn't even present to hand the note to his wife. Now on Valentine's Day, if you look at the history, or you look at how many cards are sent out, it is actually the second biggest for sending out cards, the second biggest major holiday. Christmas takes it by quite a bit. Actually, I think out of the five biggest holidays, Christmas puts all four of them together and has it, I think, is how it is. But Valentine's Day is the next biggest at 143 million cards that go out to family and friends and significant others. That's not including notes from school children to friends of theirs. There's a lot of cards go out. And anyhow, as I was looking at some of that, I was intrigued by some of that. There was another one, the Conversation Hearts was interesting. I fell across it, and this wasn't in my notes, this is on a bunny trail, but on the Conversation Hearts, it was 1 year that the company actually shut down and sold out to someone else. But there are so many of them sold that it said that they made, for 11 months, they would make these Conversation Hearts, and it was like 100,000 of them a day, I think it was something like that they made per day, and it took 11 months to supply enough for the 6 weeks that they would sell for Valentine's Day. Anyhow, it's just pretty interesting to me. And then it said on there that it was going to be missing that year. But anyhow, that wasn't anything with this. But anyhow, as I was thinking about Valentine's Day, and one of the words that we probably hear the most on Valentine's Day is love. And so, obviously, my mind went to love, and I was thinking about that, and I get here this morning, and I was studying last night and this morning, and I kind of finished up, and I usually don't. I don't look at the Sunday school lesson. I pray, and I'm asking God what he wants me to talk about, and I study, and then it's like, and then I let him take me where he wants to, and so I'm thinking about this, and I was pretty much done, and I pulled out the Sunday school lesson this morning, and just never even thought about it, and opened it up in 1 Corinthians 13. I was like, oh, wow. I looked at Janice and said, what do I do? And she goes, just go with it. And so I was feeling okay, and I sat down, and Dawson gets up for devotions, and he goes right into it. I mean, he gets right into mine. So anyhow, I'm sitting here like, boy, what do I do? And I was like, well, I'm just going to go with it, I guess. So this morning, we're going to talk about love, and not all of it is exactly the same. I went a little different on some of it. So we're going to talk about love. First of all, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. What do they say? I think I heard an advertisement on the radio one time. They said that if they want something to stick in your mind, like a phone number or a company's trying to get their advertisement across, I think they said that they say it three times, because three times makes it stick in your mind. So I figure maybe this morning if we heard it on devotions and we heard it in Sunday school and we heard it here, maybe it's the third time. Maybe it'll stick. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But love, 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read the I'm going to read the first, at least the first four verses. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I have and deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then we go down through the rest of it. I'm sorry, let's go on to verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Then the very last verse. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest is love. Dawson went into he said about the two kinds of love. There's actually four kinds of love that are referred to in the Bible, and the two biggest ones that he talked about this morning, agape love and the philia love. There's eros love, which is a passionate love, and the storge love, also referred to in the Bible. The storge love is actually the type of love that a parent has for their child. And there was a commentator said this, that it's the type of love that even when the child acts horribly awful, that you still love them. It's just a natural love. And there's a couple places that is listed in the Bible as well. This morning I'm going the same place Dawson did. I'm looking at, or we're going to talk about the agape love, unconditional love, kind of love that God has shown towards mankind. It's a love that is given without an expectation of return. God calls us to love. Actually, Jesus in his teaching gave love priority over all virtues. If you'll turn with me to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 25. It says, And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So first of all, we're going to look this morning at how are we to love. First of all, we're to love God with everything we have, nothing reserved or nothing held back. Then if we go on reading in the same chapter there, we are to love our neighbor as ourself. And then the lawyer went on and said unto him, And Jesus said unto him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And the lawyer was willing to justify himself. Verse 29, he says, But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, then set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. We can't take away all the needs that are around us. We can't actually fix every need that is around us. So I was looking at that. But that compassion that the Samaritan had should be in each one of us. As we go through life, we're not going to be able to fix every need. But there should be a compassion in us that compels us that we want to do whatever is possible to take care of the needs and to reach out and love others. That's the compassion that he was calling for. Then if we go to John 13, 34 and 35, and I don't know if you read the verse that was up here this morning, but when I sat down, I saw that right away. I said, well, there's one of my scriptures that I was actually going to read this morning. But John 13, verse 34 and 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I'm sorry, I missed verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It went from that person that we meet on the street from day to day, gets just a little bit closer to home, maybe a little bit harder. You know, you're driving down the road, and Curtis, you're driving down the road, and you see somebody along the side of the road, and it's like, well, they got a flat tire, they need help, and you can stop and change their flat tire. You helped them, you're on your way. Pretty relatively easy. Doesn't take a lot. Takes a little bit of time, but it's somewhat easy. And then you get a little closer, and we are to love each other. As Christian brothers and sisters, we're to love each other as Christ loved the church. We rub shoulders every week, maybe so often during a week, and sometimes it gets just a little bit harder to love each other. But it was something that was pretty important. If we look at Paul, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9-12. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before the outsiders and be depending on no one. Peter wrote what he called the elect isle, to the elect exiles in Asia Minor. I think it was five different places that he listed there. They were all in Asia Minor. And 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And then John writes, so now this is the third one of the writers of the gospel that has written in the New Testament. John writes this in his letter, most likely to Ephesus and the surrounding churches, in 1 John 4, 7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is the love of God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then the next one goes on down to in the home. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5, verse 23-33 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water in the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. As I was thinking about in the home and husbands and wives loving each other, and I was just thinking about in our society today, you know, you can take a child and you can ask them, a question, and you find out some interesting comments, some interesting perspectives. And as I was studying, and I looked at this, I said, well, I wonder if I was to ask the children, what would they say about your home? What would they say about my home? Do I love myself as I love my, do I love my wife as I love myself? I probably do love myself as I love my wife. There's sometimes it sure appears that way. But do I love my wife as I love my own body, as I love me? And, you know, it says in there, as Christ loved the church, and, you know, we right away, our minds go to, would you give up your life for your wife? And I look at every one of you here, and I believe you would. But when it comes down to that day by day love, where do I stand? How do we stand? If we look at the life of Christ, he was tired and crowds followed him, and yet he was filled with compassion. He was beaten and he was falsely accused, and yet he died for us, for his bride. So why is love the greatest commandment? Understanding the importance of love, and I saw there was somebody that had had written something that was really interesting to me, and I actually put it in my notes because I said, well, I don't think I can say it as good as he did. But as we understand the importance of love, when Jesus spoke to the disciples regarding the first and second greatest commandments, he explained that in Matthew 22:40, all the law and prophets depend on these two commandments. To the people of Israel, as well to many believers today, it would seem more logical for the act of obedience, because of the point of writing a law is the adherence to it. And it is written, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, in John 14:15. Yet Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love another. In John 13, verse 34, I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love another. The apostle goes on to tell us, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. That's in Romans 13, verse 10. So the logic of Paul's interpretation of Jesus' command that love fulfills the law seems equally simple. For if one loves his neighbor, he will not commit adultery with his neighbor's spouse. If he loves his co-worker, he will not lie to him. If he loves his enemy, he will not slander him. Love fulfills the law, because if we truly love every person because he is a person, we will not desire to hurt, violate him or her, thus never break the law. God establishes love as the force for obedience. When we demonstrate Christian love, it distinguishes believers from the rest of the world. Jesus goes on to say in John 13, verse 35, by this love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The world is watching. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. We are God's advertisement to a watching society. We love as he loved us. It will make the difference. People will notice. Christian's love is indispensable because people matter so much to him, they ought to matter to us, and we therefore need to love them as he loves them. Love makes a statement and leaves a legacy. It does the unexpected. It performs acts that steal the heart and leaves an impression on the soul. Often, these acts are never forgotten. While the love on Valentine's Day is mostly the Fila love, God has called us to, as Christians, to that love, that agape love. As I was studying the scriptures, I'd read about these four different types of love, and so I took the concordance and I went back in looking up the background of each different one that I was talking about. I was just curious if each one of these was the agape love, and each one of these references was the agape love, the same type of love that Christ loved the church and loved you and I with. When he tells us to love others as he loves, as Christ loved us and loved the church, it goes back, there was a reference that went back to Hosea, and Hosea was a prophet, and his wife was unfaithful, and yet Hosea continued to love and welcome her back. And then he went on to use that picture of Christ in the church, and this was back with the Israelites when he said to the Israelites, he said, as that's how the Israelites were, that the Israelites had left, they had went their own way, and yet God was right there waiting for them, welcoming them back. God wanted them to come back, and he welcomed them back at every time. God was faithful even when they were unfaithful. And God is faithful to each one of us, even when we're unfaithful. And he desires for us to return and be close to him. So today, it's a good time, even if it's Valentine's Day, it's a good time, as we think of love, to remember the love that God has shown to us and how we are called to love others. Not just like today. I talked about this on Thanksgiving. And now I got another one. On Thanksgiving, I said, well, I was going to make a goal to thank God every day. And now today, we're supposed to love others, and it's the greatest commandment. So yesterday's a great day to love and to be reminded. But in the next 364 days, we're supposed to spend that time. We should think about it often. How do I love others? How do I love those I come in contact with? He also said, I think it was back in John 13, that when we love others like that, others see it. And by that, people know and people have a desire to see and to understand and to get to know God themselves. So this week, as you go through the week, in the article it said that we are God's advertisement. So as we go through the week, may we reflect God's love to the people that cross our paths, the people we come in contact with. Some of them might be easy to love. Others might be hard to love. But may we show God's love through this week as we come in contact with the people in the world around us. God's love is really what they want and what they need and what each one of us needs. So, all right. If you would, Scott, do you have a song? Okay. All right. If y'all want to stand, we'll pray. And all right, let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for your love. Thank you so much for how you have loved us, your unconditional love, that even when we were in sin and when we went our own way, that you loved us so much. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us and your love that continues. And God, I just pray that you would help us as we go through this life, as we go through this week, that you would help us to share that love, to show that love to the world around us. Each one that we come in contact with, that we would be able to portray your love to them, and that they would want to know you and to become close to you. So God, just thank you again for the freedom we have to read your word, to study your word. And God, I just pray that you would be with us and bless each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen.